щось я не зумів зупинитись вчасно. Все ясно зі мною тепер і назавжди, пізно не йти, не йди від мене. Рам-та-та-ри-да-ра-дай, я налию собі, я налию тобі вина. А хочеш із медом? Хто ти є, ти взяла моє життя і не віддала? Хто ти є, ти випила мою кров і п'яною впала? Твої очі кличуть, хочуть мене, ведуть за собою. Хто ти є і ким би не була ти? На себе рам-та-та-ри-да-ра-дай, я налию собі, я налию тобі вина. А хочеш із медом? Хто ти є, ти взяла моє життя і не віддала? Хто ти є, ти випила мою кров і п'яною впала? Очі кличуть, хочуть мене, ведуть за собою. Хто ти є і ким би не була ти? Я не здався без бою. Я не здався без бою.
And a song called Bez Boyu, which means without a fight, as in I won't give up without a fight. And that is a brand new release by a group from Toronto called Dunai, which means, incidentally, the Danube River. And that is from their brand new CD, self-titled. And again, that song was Bez Boyu, without a fight. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіо перед... And that song again was Без Бою. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, Pokrinske Pavlina, and I am delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a story about a very little known but very significant person in Ukrainian history. And we've also got Ukrainian Christian heritage, and it will be narrated by Father Theo Mashinsky, who is from my hometown here in Nanaimo, British Columbia, on Vancouver Island. And he'll be telling us all about Ivana Kupala. And this is an ancient festival, summer solstice, actually, and it dates back to pre-Christian times. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, and our proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a Ukrainian remake of an American folk song made very popular back in the 1960s. It was known then as the Ballad of the Green Berets. The Ukrainian version is called Stobivtsi, which means 100 fighters.
Протекла, мов кров з ножа, по степу тонка межа, ліворуч битва, а справа бій, чигає смерть у далі голубі. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. На 100 бійців один наказ. День за днем, хто знає де, був наказ, і сотня йде. Крізь вогонь і куль політ, крізь вугілля і крізь граніт. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Ніденься денем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ. З рубежу і на рубіж, з роздоріж до роздоріж, і так далі. Є. Вчора був, сьогодні є, а завтра хто знає, що буде там, за батьківщину життя віддам. Завтра я, а потім ти, хто знає як, та треба йти, новою зброєю.
The golden anniversary of Ukrainian culture in the Parkland. Canada's National Ukrainian Festival, Dauphin, Manitoba, July 31st to August 2nd. Celebrate 50 incredible years of Ukrainian culture with music and dance groups from all across Canada and Ukraine. If you haven't been to the festival in years, consider this your invitation. Get your weekend passes, day passes, and camping passes by phone at 1-877-474-2683 or online at cnuf.ca.
The third annual Babas and Borscht Ukrainian Festival takes place August 22nd and 23rd in Andrew, Alberta, featuring great Ukrainian food, music, and dance. Free admission, including a free borscht sample. Saturday evening's a baba with a banquet and entertainers from Edmonton, including the Shumka Dancers and two fabulous music ensembles. At Babas and Borscht Festival, August 22nd and 23rd in Andrew, Alberta. For all things baba, all things borscht, and your zabava tickets, go to babasandborscht.ca.
We want you there! You're coming, right?
Знаєте, час від часу здається, що ви б хотіли почути від нас, щось приємне і легке. Але тут є одна деталь. Ми ніколи нічого не робимо приємно і легко. Ми завжди робимо легко і жорстко. Так що почнемо цю пісню приємно і закінчимо її жорстко. Саме так ми виконуємо Proud Mary. Ми пливемо, пливемо, ми пливемо по річці. Я кинула роботу в місті, гнула спину на буса день і ніч. Я не змабука в хвилини сну, думаючи, що могло би бути. Крутяться жорна часу, а Proud Mary жаром пылає. Пливем, ми пливем, ми пливемо по річці. Я веремила півом пісу, викачали Нью-Орлінс, не знали, яке гарне місто, поки насіла вечерний нечовен. Крутяться жорна часу, а Proud Mary жаром пылає. Пливем, ми пливем, ми пливемо на річці. Пливем, ми пливем, ми пливемо по річці. День і ніч не змагала, хвилин
And that was Mila Jovovich singing the Ukrainian version of Proud Mary. And yes, Mila Jovovich is Ukrainian. Who knew? Coming up next is something a little more traditional, Cheremshena from Montreal. This is a girl group that's been around for a long time, and they're up next with a song from their CD, Postishka Khmri, which means Along Paths of a Dream. Here they are with Oy Ustane Radesenko, which means Early in the Morning.
Стану ранесенько, миюличко білесеньки, ще й сонечко не зійшло, в мене личко розцвіло, ще й сонечко не зійшло, в мене личко розцвіло, ой, пішла я та й по сіно, в мене личко зрум'яніло, ой, чи не брала, Василечка пострічала. Серце моє, нав'яж сі нав'язок твоє, він ув'язки нав'язує, та й до мене підморгує, він ув'язки нав'язує, та й до мене підморгує, а ти дівчоче пурненька, сама станом та й гарненька, він ув'язки нав'язує, обніме та й поцілує. Дам цілувати, віднесе сіна до хати, а як любить, не жартує, біля хати поцілує. До роботи він береться, несе сіно, спина гнеться, сіна несе, помагає, та й же сватів засилає.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Greetings from the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. The Tkuma Ukrainian Institute for Holocaust Studies in Dnipropetrovsk contains a number of materials concerning Righteous Among the Nations. This honorary title is given to the people of different nations who rescued Jews during the Second World War from 1939 to 1945. The procedure is monitored by Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, a special committee established at the Holocaust Martyrs and Heroes Remembrance Authority. Among the materials at Tkuma is the tremendous heroic story of Lydia Kotlarevska, who rescued Jews during the Nazi occupation of Dnipropetrovsk. Lydia Kotlarevska had been involved in an underground organization and had worked as a nurse in German hospital. She carried out her underground activity jointly with Boris Sondak, a Ukrainian Jew who she hid in her flat. Sondak was responsible for blowing up a bridge on the Dnipro River to halt the progress of the Nazis. In 1942, he and his comrades were arrested and executed. During the Dnipropetrovsk occupation, she also sheltered a Jewish family, Tatiana Rabovskaya, and her sons Viktor and Nikolai. The older son cared for his younger brother and Lydia's young daughter Alexandra. In November 2002, Yad Vashem notified Lydia Kotlarevska that she had received the honorary title of Righteous Among the Nations for helping the Jewish nation during the Second World War. Delivering the documents to the Future Holocaust History Museum, Lydia Kotlarevska revealed a family history of saving Jews. In 1912, her grandparents Emilian and Tatiana Khodosenko rescued a Jewish family, the Lakins, from pogroms that were happening in Yekaterinoslav. She said, "In 1912, my grandparents lived on Torgovaya Street in the same neighborhood as a large Jewish family by the name of Lakins. When the pogroms began, Sara Lakina rushed into my grandmother's house and begged for shelter for her family. My grandmother hid them in the cellar located under the kitchen. The Lakins family hid in the Khodosenko house until the pogroms ended and the Black Hundreds left the streets." The Black Hundreds was an early 20th century ultranationalist movement in Russia noted for extreme Russocentric doctrines, xenophobia, antisemitism, and incitement to pogroms. The story didn't end there. Lydia continued. "In December of 1941, an old man came to our house on Karl Marx Street. He was scared and trembling. When I gave him a cup of tea, he broke down crying. He said to my mother in a low voice, 'Yelichka, your mother rescued my family when the Black Hundreds were committing pogroms. The day before, police officers took away our documents and forbade us to go out.'" Lydia clearly recalls this visit. Unfortunately, nobody knows what happened to the man and his family. Since she was living in occupied territory during the Second World War, Lydia Kotlarevska set the task to rescue people and did her best to fulfill it, but she suffered irreplaceable losses, which will not be forgotten till the end of her life. Her husband, Alexander Kotlarevsky, was killed early in the war. Her father-in-law, Andrei Varivsky, who had participated in an underground city organization, was hung by Nazis. Her mother, Elena, was tortured by the Gestapo when the Nazis learned what Lydia was doing. After being tortured, she was thrown into a ditch but survived. Lydia's school friend Esfir Patkina was gunned down together with her parents during a mass killing of Jews on October the 13th and 14th, 1941, in the Botanical Garden, the same place her brother in underground, Boris Sondak, was later exterminated. In spite of her horrible experience, Lydia Kotlarevska does not bury her bitter memories. She keeps them alive to honor those who survived as well as those who perished. You can find a photo of Lydia along with this brief biography at the Tkuma Ukrainian Institute for Holocaust Studies website, www.tkuma.dp.ua/en. This is Volodymyr Volkov at the Faina Petrakova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
моя гідки, гей, моя гідки, молодиці посуниці,
молодиці посуниці,
усі дівки назбирали, а Марічка не зібрала,
бо зустріла накупала,
бо зустріла накупала
чорнобривого Івана,
чорнобривого Івана,
заглянула в карі очі та й згубила в лісі коші.
Song by a popular folk group called Kobza from Ukraine, and Naivana Kupala, which is a song about the ancient summer solstice ritual and festival of Ivana Kupala. And up next is Father Theo Mashinsky from Nanaimo, British Columbia, with a feature called Our Sacred Traditions. And this is all about the Ukrainian Christian and pagan observance of this festival.
Боже великий, я дивний.
Слава Ісусу Христу! With the baptism of Rus Ukraine, our Ukrainian Catholic Church took a lot of the customs and traditions that existed and gave them a Christian interpretation. Sometimes we see the opposite going on as well. A feast celebration, June the 24th, is Ivana Kupala. This seems to coincide with the church feast of St. John the Baptist. So who is this individual, Ivana Kupala? It's interesting the date, June 24th, falling very close to the summer solstice. Should give some indications. Ivana Kupala Day mixes together two words. Ivan, the Slavic name of John the Baptist, and Kupala, possibly deriving from the Slavic word for bathing, or a very ancient pagan harvest god having a similar name. Most of the traditions on the day date back to pre-Christian times. The ancient Slavic people worshipped a pagan fertility deity during the summer solstice, Kupala. In his honor, the people used to dance, sing songs, and jump over a large bonfire. Some believed that leaping over the flames helped to cleanse the people of illness and bad luck. The highest jumper, therefore, had the greatest luck. After the baptism of Rus Ukraine in 988, it was the feast of John the Baptist, the great prophet who baptized Jesus, that was celebrated on this day. As the two feasts were celebrated together within a short period of time, the name Ivana was added, and hence the name Ivana Kupala. St. John the Baptist, a bit of history, was that last prophet of the Old Testament, and acted as a bridge between the Old and New Testaments. He started to preach on the banks of the River Jordan against the evils of the time through a discipline of penance and baptism. His only message to the people was to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. He baptized many individuals and therefore was called John the Baptist. According to the Holy Scriptures, Christ also turned to John to be baptized. John instantly recognizes him as the Lord and proclaims him to be the Messiah. John baptized Jesus, marking the beginning of his ministry. And in turn, John inspired his followers to follow the way of Christ. Back to Ivana Kupala. Another tradition was that the girls made wreaths of herbs, and in the evening let them float in the water, watching them go away. A sinking wreath meant the end of love, and there would be no wedding. However, if it did not sink, then the girls would follow the wreath to see which village it would stop at. This is where they were to find their future mate. Swimming at night by the bonfire was also practiced as a means of purification. Today, especially here in North America, these traditions and customs seem to have all but disappeared. But through their telling, it gives us yet another glimpse into how the early customs and traditions of Ukraine have helped make our Ukrainian Catholic Church the great treasure it is today.
And another rendition of Ivana Kupala that was performed by Luhansky Kozake from a city called Hey Vidno Selo, which means Hey, there's a village. And Luhansk is, of course, in the area that is overrun and occupied by Russian terrorists. They are called other things in the media, but it's called a spade here. And they are terrorists because they have wrecked that beautiful part of the country and brought nothing but death and destruction. And it is really sad that the hometown of this wonderful musical group has been destroyed by these idiots. Up next is a song by Komuvnez, and this is a song that speaks to that situation now. It is called a song called Povstanets, and that means freedom fighter.
Я був повстанцем в козацькій борні, славного Богдана в визвольній війні. Навіть на страту з мужністю йшов. Я був повстанцем, за свободу лив кров. Я був сотником у Залізняка, в гайдамацьких загонах хартувалась рука. Крізь огнисту броні йшли до бою ми знов. Я був повстанцем, за правду лив кров. Я був чорним вороном, подібним до тіні.
у холодного яру останні години. Хто ворогу здався, кого страх поборов, прийде повстанець і пролє вашу кров. Я був лісовим братом на Волині, до кінця опирався червоній лавині. Від безсилої люті скажені в людолов, я повстанець 20 лютого на Майдані. Проти снайперів, перкоту та поліцаїв, так добре напалм на броні запалав. Я повстав, за свободу свою кров проливав. Я повстанцем залишуся, аж до загину. Не прогнати мене із своєї країни, щоб зрадницький виплід у пекло зійшов. Я воюю на сході, кипить моя кров. Так, я повстанець, і кипить моя кров. Я повстав за свободу, тече моя кров.
Щоб таких дураков, як ви, більше не було у нас.
Listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
The Canadian government will provide Ukraine with $15 million to fight corruption and reform the courts. Defense Minister Jason Kenney made that pledge during a tour of the Ukrainian military grounds near Lviv in western Ukraine on Saturday.
Today I'm pleased to announce that the government of Canada will be providing $3 million in funding support for improved investigative reporting in Ukraine to expose corruption and bring about accountability, and $12.4 million in funding to support fundamental judicial reform to help Ukrainian courts become more independent, fair, and effective.
In return, Ukraine's defense minister, Stepan Poltorak, thanked his Canadian counterpart. Here's what he had to say. The long-term educational program that would last more than a year is extremely necessary today for the Ukrainian armed forces, because in this period we plan to practically apply the NATO standards in preparation, in supplies and special exercises. Some 200 Canadian military trainers will be deployed to Ukraine later this year to help instruct government forces about how to adapt to NATO standards. During the visit, delegations from both countries inspected a sample of the military exercises soldiers have to undertake. Canada, like many other NATO members, has provided the ex-Soviet Republic only with non-lethal aid. Canadian military trainers are also expected to run programs for the new Ukrainian conscripts inside Ukraine this summer.
An explosion ripped through a cafe in the center of Odessa, southern Ukraine, in the wee hours of July 2nd, after an explosive device was set off in front of a popular restaurant there. No injuries or casualties have been reported. An investigation and operational group, along with the explosion and technical service, were immediately dispatched to the scene. Several cars parked nearby were damaged. This latest incident follows a series of blasts in Odessa and Kharkiv in recent months. Most of the attacks have targeted the offices of pro-Ukrainian volunteer organizations.
Lawyers of Nadia Savchenko, Ukrainian female pilot and MP, now have legal grounds to file an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. Ilya Novikov, one of the detainees' lawyers, has told Ukrainian news agency Union. For the first time, the Moscow City Court has acknowledged Savchenko as a delegate to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe and still considered she had no immunity status. Next week, these documents from the court hearing will be sent to the European Court of Human Rights. Finally, we can have a complaint, said Novikov. According to Novikov, yesterday, the Russian Court of Appeals for the first time refused to release Savchenko, and as a result, the defense has grounds to appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. A penalty will be imposed on Russia for Savchenko's unlawful arrest, Novikov said. It is not a quick process. Usually the hearings at the European Court may take several years, but given the high priority of the Savchenko case, it may take a few months, even before she is convicted and her sentence enters into force, said Novikov. The lawyer added that Savchenko completed with reading the case materials, and in the near future, the consideration of the facts in the case by court will begin. Savchenko has been jailed in Russia since July 2014, when she says she was illegally brought into the country after being abducted by Russian-backed militants in eastern Ukraine. She is charged with complicity in the killing of two Russian journalists who died in the conflict in eastern Ukraine, as well as with illegally crossing the border. She denies all the charges. The fighter pilot was appointed to Ukraine's delegation to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, a move which theoretically granted her immunity and should have led to her release. The Moscow City Court extended the arrest of Savchenko by another 3 months on June 10th at the request of the Investigative Committee of the Russian Federation until September 30th, which upped her detention period to 15 months.
The leaders of the Russian-backed militants, who control parts of two eastern regions in eastern Ukraine, have blocked Dutch investigators from accessing the site where Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 was downed almost a year ago. That's according to the Dutch National Police and Ministry of Defense, which have cut short their work in Ukraine without completing their research into cell phone towers and cellular networks, information that could be vital for discovering the cause of the crash. The news came just days after Russia said it had also blocked calls for the establishment of a UN tribunal to try those responsible for the downing of MH17 in East Ukraine last year. Australia, Belgium, Malaysia, the Netherlands, and Ukraine discussed the proposal, all supported the plan, but Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister, Gennady Gatilov, said Moscow did not back the plan. We are against it. We think it is not timely and counterproductive. Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 was shot down on July 17th last year, killing all 298 people on board, over two-thirds of them Dutch citizens. Ukraine and the West suspect that either regular Russian forces or pro-Russian militants downed MH17, perhaps accidentally, with a Russian surface-to-air Buk missile. Initially, Russia claimed that a Ukrainian fighter jet had hit the plane, but Ukraine's Air Force had been completely grounded days before MH17 was downed. Russia recently changed its story, with Russia's Buk manufacturer admitting that it was a Russian-made missile that downed MH17, but asserting it was fired by the Ukrainian army. It is unclear from Russia's investigators what would have prompted Ukraine to shoot down a civilian airliner, as Russia and its proxy army had not deployed an air force to East Ukraine. Independent investigators, such as journalists from the Bellingcat Group, have debunked Russia's far-fetched conspiracy theories by using publicly available satellite data to prove Moscow doctored satellite imagery and is using fabricated evidence to blame Ukraine. Members of the 14th Combined Police Detachment have returned home to friends and family in Zhytomyr after a tour in the combat zone in Lugansk region near Lysychansk. The unit guarded strategically important facilities there and manned outposts defending Ukraine against attacks by Russian-backed militants. In addition, they helped locals cope with day-to-day problems caused by the war. Members of the unit, which suffered no casualties, will return to their posts in Zhytomyr following some rest and relaxation.
Coolwood Alpha Jazz Festival, the gathering held in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv at the peak of summer, is the largest open-air jazz festival in Ukraine and probably the most important in Eastern Europe. The Jazz Festival, which began in 2011, is funded by one of Russia's richest men, Moscow-based but Lviv-born billionaire Mikhail Friedman, who, as a child, studied at the Lviv Music School. Friedman's wealth has helped lure some of the world's top jazz musicians to Lviv, as he wanted to make a gift to his native city. It is not just a festival for us. We believe what we are doing is a sign that in our beloved home city, Lviv, in such an ancient and forever young city, music will always be playing on the streets. Writers, scientists, poets, philosophers, diplomats, and everyone else will always live here. They will live in a free, democratic, peaceful, prosperous country, Ukraine. Mayor of Lviv, Andriy Sadovay, has said the festival has become the main point of the cultural and economic revival in Ukraine. I think that our enemies would desperately want to see pictures from Ukraine, as we see them very often, sad and with problems. But today, the whole world will see open Ukraine, where the best musicians in the world came to support Ukraine. The festival this year was packed with jazz stars and famous musicians from all over the world, including Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter and George Benson. Over the last 4 years, Alpha Jazz Fest has attracted around 400 jazz musicians and more than 40,000 jazz fans. Part of the money raised during the festival will go to charity, namely to buy medical equipment for the rehabilitation department at the municipal hospital and to build a children's playground in central Lviv.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page, and check out our blog, which is nashholos.blogspot.com. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Волю можу лиш ті мати, що вміють її здобувати. And our proverb of the week translates as, liberty belongs to those who can win it. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we've got the By Request Band from Steinbach, Manitoba, and a Peter's Special Polka. I'm Paulette Demchik-Macquarie, Polkadinsky Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.